This is the year 2012, a year in which I haven't done very many interviews. As a matter of fact, I don't think I did any. I was thinking about that the other day, and I was thinking whether I should do some more. But the thing is, I enjoy writing articles, and it takes a little work to contact people when you're going to do an interview. Then I thought about things, and I said to myself, you know, maybe some people out there would be interested in some of the things I have to say. After all, I've never been interviewed, and I've contacted a lot of people, and I've learned a lot of things. You all know that one of my main interests is UFOs, but along with that, I have many more. This is only a short message, so there's no way that I can talk about everything that I have found out in every field that I'm interested in. So I'm just going to concentrate on the subject of UFOs. One of the things that I learned about UFOs, besides the fact that there are unidentified flying objects, is that the famous Roswell crash that is being denied to this day by the government was not the only crash where debris covered large areas and fields. There was another crash very similar to Roswell in the early 1980s, and that occurred in Wales. A farmer had gone to bed, and when he got up the next morning, four of his fields were covered with debris. One of the most amazing things about this story is the fact that this time there was no crashed object. It was as if the object had exploded, or part of it had exploded, but it was able to fly away. The military found out about this because the farmer contacted the police, who in turn contacted the military. And the Ministry of Defense sent out a team that scoured the fields the same way that the area in Roswell was scoured, and not a piece of debris was left. Sometime later, UFO investigators heard about the crash, and they went to the farm, and with the permission of the farmer, they decided they would look for anything that was missed, but found nothing. The farm itself bordered on a forest, and the UFO investigators decided to go into the forest and look in the trees, because it would have been very hard for soldiers from the ministry to have done all that in the short time they had. They were surprised to find that there was debris in the trees, and the object had come in on a straight line, so it was easy to find the trees that had been hit. Pieces of debris were found that ranged anywhere from 6 feet down to minuscule pieces. What was interesting about these pieces was the fact that the metal was the same kind of metal that would have been used to construct a plane, but it was far purer. There was also pieces of structure that were found that were very unusual. They were thin pieces of extremely strong metal that were sandwiched over a special type of foil that had markings like somebody took an eraser head and punched it in exact patterns all over the foil. When you put the foil between the two pieces of metal, it becomes extremely strong, to the point it is stronger than anything we have ever used. As I said, when it was found, we had no way of making the metal as pure. The metal was painted on one side a green color, and on the other side was gray. The green color was not aerodynamic, and the other side that had the gray was found to be a rosin. And to this day, this rosin has not been clearly identified. When the Ministry of Defense found out what had been found, the proverbial men in black appeared at the home of the person who led the exploration team. Before they could ask the usual questions and make the usual threats, the man informed them that he had cut up pieces of the debris and sent out over 100 pieces to over 100 different people. And he had no way of getting all of them back. And he told the men in black that if they left him alone, he wouldn't tell these people to go to the newspapers and to the television. Apparently, the men in black felt he had them over a barrel and left him. All this happened over 25 years ago. I found out other things about UFOs also. I interviewed two people that happened to know a friend of mine, and they told me a story about a UFO they saw themselves. There are a lot of people today who claim to have seen a UFO, but what they told me was quite different. You could see as they were telling me what they saw that there was fear in their eyes. Apparently, they were in their house one day when everything became dark. Now, this was in the middle of the day. They didn't know what happened. They thought maybe it was an eclipse. So they went outside, and there was a tremendous shadow over their house. When the husband looked up, he couldn't believe his eyes. Over their house, not more than 50 feet above their roof, was a huge saucer-shaped UFO. It hovered for quite a while over their house and then took off. When I asked these people what they saw, they indicated that they didn't see any living beings, but they did see the underneath of the saucer. And to them, it looked like there were pipes and different structures underneath it. From talking to them, it sounded to me as if they saw what is known as the anti-gravity balls that are seen frequently under UFOs. But I can't be sure of this. But I do know one thing. What they saw was not anything we made. I myself had two experiences that were very strange. One had absolutely nothing to do with a UFO. One day, when I was sitting in my backyard, I heard the sound of rotors. Now, I had been sitting in the backyard looking at planes that were approaching the airport. I had a pair of binoculars with me, and the lenses were coated red. When I heard the rotor sound, I looked up in the air because the sound sounded like it was coming from overhead, but I couldn't see a thing. I decided that it must be far away, but I couldn't understand how the rotor sounded so close. I grabbed my glasses, that's binoculars, looked straight up, and to my surprise, there was a helicopter not 200 feet above my house with a platform chained under it. I just was very surprised. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't see it before. So I took my glasses down, looked up, and again, I couldn't see it. It was like it became invisible. Putting the glasses back to my eyes, I saw it. It was as if there was some type of an experiment in invisibility going on, and I was privy to it. Eventually, the helicopter left the area. To me, that was one of the strangest events I have ever seen. The second event that I saw had to do with an object that was in the twilight as night was coming on. It was small because it was far away, but the light from it was so bright that if you looked at it, you had the feeling it could blind you. I wondered, how could an object so far away have such a bright light? I watched it as it sped across the sky and disappeared. I can't be sure that this wasn't something that we had, but on the other hand, I don't know anything that would have a light like this, but I'm no expert in this area. I've talked to many people on the subject of UFOs and aliens, and they all seem to agree on one thing. We are far more advanced than anyone is letting on. And it seems that we have the power to travel not only to distant planets, but reach stars. And we have been keeping this secret for years. One of the former heads of NASA mentioned this fact. And yet, it seems like nobody paid much attention. What makes a lot of people mad that investigate UFOs and discover that we are more advanced is the fact that if a lot of these inventions, or whatever they are, were made public, many of them would be useful in treating our health. Perhaps we could eradicate cancer, or make the blind see and the lame walk, and perform many other things that would seem like miracles. But because everything has a secondary use, and most of the time that use is as a weapon, many of these inventions are hidden from us. There are other things I'd like to tell you. Some of them you may know already. Others may come as a surprise to you. There is not only one kind of UFO. It seems there are many kinds. One type of UFO seems to be able to change its size. Now, I don't know if this is a second type of UFO or still the first type, but there are UFOs that are able to break into several pieces, and each piece becomes an independent UFO. They have been spotted many times in the skies, separating and joining. There is also some sort of shielding that UFOs have so they cannot be observed. But under certain conditions, they become visible. It seems that not all UFOs have this. Or they do not choose to use it all the time for some reason. It failed the UFOs back in Mexico when there was an eclipse, and all of a sudden, thousands of UFOs appeared in the sky. Apparently, the eclipse had something to do with disrupting the invisibility of UFOs. Some people say that UFOs are nothing more than vehicles that we have built ourselves. And I am sure that many a UFO was something we built. On the other hand, there are many other UFOs that demonstrate abilities that we just don't have. And just as I was sure about the ones we built, I am sure that these did not come from the Earth. So where do UFOs come from? Well, that is the $64 million question, isn't it? It is believed that not only do UFOs come from other planets in our galaxy, but some might come from other galaxies or even other times. Lately, there are a lot of people that believe that there are UFOs full of time travelers visiting us. And a theory is being formed that states that these time travelers are really us. They are arriving from our future, and they are back here in our past to try and change us from doing certain things to make the future better for them. I'm not sure about this theory, because I was always taught if you change something in the past, you really can't control the ramifications of it, and it could even wipe out the future at some point. But who knows? Maybe these people that believe that we are coming back here are right, and maybe all the theories about making changes in the past are wrong. We have no way of knowing any of this. Along with UFOs, there are USOs, unidentified submerged objects. As a matter of fact, there are probably more USOs coming out of the oceans of the world than there are UFOs over the land. The thing you have to remember here is that a USO and a UFO are the same craft. The only reason there's a designation is because once they enter the water or are seen coming out of the water, they are called USOs. If they're not seen doing this and just in the air, they're called UFOs. I know it sounds a little crazy. We should just call them UFOs and be done with it. But that's the way it is. I've been told different things by different people that pertain not only to UFOs, but also to aliens. And I am not talking about people that just cross our border. I am talking about extraterrestrials. I want to make sure that I'm clear on this point. Timothy Good, the famous author who has probably composed far more than 30 or 35 books by now, told me a story that I found quite incredible, but I will relay it here to you. When I was interviewing this great author, he told me that he once felt that he was being contacted. He could feel it, but it was felt like it was inside of his head. At the time, he was staying in a hotel, and he decided to go down to the lobby and sit in one of the chairs. And as he did, he kept thinking, "What do you want? What do you want?" This went on for 20 minutes or so until finally somebody sat next to him and replied. And he looked up, but this person was not replying by talking. He was replying by thought. I don't know what happened after that, and I was very surprised that he told me this story. The reason I was so surprised is a lot of people would think you were crazy if you ever mentioned this to them. But he told me. And he told me during a taped interview. So this is no secret. He also told me about an incredible event that he had investigated. Apparently during the Cold War, the Russians, or the Soviets at the time, had discovered that powerful radars could disrupt the field that keeps UFOs in the air. So they built a very powerful radar weapon and had it installed on one of their bases. I guess the idea was to use it on a UFO whenever they had the chance. Apparently the tables got turned on the Soviets, however. A UFO came over the base and shot a ray. The ray passed through a Soviet soldier without hurting him, but hit the building that housed the radar weapon and completely destroyed the weapon and the building. It's hard to imagine a race that has a technology so powerful that in one instance it can pass through living matter without hurting a person and yet travel a little further and be a destructive weapon. I have never heard of anything like this before or since. Another famous investigator, that's UFO investigator, who has been doing a lot of research, told me that he believes that there is a huge USO base somewhere near Catalina Island off the coast of California. Apparently he has been studying it for years, and he has noticed many instances of UFOs entering the water there or coming out of the water. It doesn't seem that the area has ever been investigated by the military, but there was no way of knowing this for sure. After all, submarines could have been employed, and people on the surface would never know. This is only one instance of suspected underwater bases that are being utilized by USOs. There are many of these bases that seem to be located all over the world. There is even a small lake in Puerto Rico where many UFOs have been seen entering and leaving. And it is believed that this lake has some sort of connection to other areas. Now, I don't know if one thing has anything to do with the other, but I do know that there are many rumors suggesting that the United States has built tunnels all over the world to connect their bases. And in the United States has even built underwater passages that submarines can go through and travel right into the center of our great country. If we could do this and do it unobserved, could we have actually built underwater bases for UFOs that became USOs when they entered the water? In other words, are we working with aliens and yet the citizenry doesn't really know this? There is a popular theory that states that our government has been meeting with aliens ever since President Truman, and that President Eisenhower secretly met with aliens. Of course, there is no way to prove this. There is also another story that states that Jackie Gleason, who was a very good friend of President Nixon, was called by President Nixon to go out with him, which he did, and they traveled to an Air Force base where Nixon showed him the bodies of tiny aliens. These kind of stories are always hard to substantiate, so we can never be sure if any of them are true. No doubt, though, there are things going on, and we are not privy to them, and we may never be. There's a person named Bob Lazar. Most of you are familiar with him. Supposedly, he worked at Area 51 and was said to be some sort of a nuclear physicist and engineer. He claimed that his assignment was to back engineer UFOs from captured ones. When Bob Lazar was investigated, the government said that he had never worked for them and was a charlatan. No record was ever found of the school that he said he graduated from, and no other records were ever found to connect him to Area 51. You would think that this would have been the end of it, wouldn't you? But it wasn't. An investigative reporter dug a little deeper, and what did he find? He found that Bob Lazar's name was in a telephone directory from Area 51 during the years that he said he worked there. He also talked to some employees that used to work there, and they remembered Bob Lazar. What was going on here? Well, obviously, the government was trying to put out disinformation so that nobody would believe Bob Lazar's story. Disinformation is everywhere. It has made it very tough for the average citizen to really know what was going on, and it has caused many a genuine, honorable person who decided to let us know what was going on to look like fools in front of many people that they knew. It's really a shame. So you can see there was a lot going on here. Several whistleblowers stated that they saw aliens on one of the shuttle missions in the cargo bay when the doors were open, talking to an astronaut. No, they weren't in space, but they were in the control room when the monitors were on. They described the alien as being taller than us, slender, and his spacesuit having no oxygen apparatus attached to it. They also said he looked very friendly when he was conversing with our people. I also know that ever since we have been launching people into space, they have been followed by UFOs. UFOs followed all the Gemini missions when man first orbited our planet. They followed the shuttle missions, and before that, the Apollo missions. And there are even broadcasts that were captured by ham radio operators that were sent out on channels that we were not supposed to hear, where astronauts said things indicating they saw UFOs following them. I have no way of knowing it, but there are those who claim that when Neil Armstrong first stepped on the moon, he was shocked to see UFOs in the distance. Will we ever make contact with any of these UFOs or the beings that pilot them? Again, I can't answer that question. There's no doubt they are there, though. And if there are any doubters among you, all they have to do is go back to the 1950s, where UFOs circled the White House for days, and we could do nothing about it. The story was front page news in those days. Today, it probably wouldn't even make the penny saver.